Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. I had that ear thing that preacher uses. It reminded me of two things. Either I had a hearing aid or a cigarette mirror. I didn't know which one, but it reminded me of one. Some of you smokers remember that stuff. Yeah, you do. Guess that was a poor joke. Isaiah 57, verse 15. I'm glad I got this clip on. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. We'll look at a few other verses in a little bit, but we're going to start right here as our text. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, that him a spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." What's interesting to me about this particular verse is I want to bring out just a phrase in this particular verse, and I want to bring it out in a just the truth that I want you to think about here. By examining the language a person uses, you can discern or discover what they know about a subject. Now, let me repeat that again. By examining the language that a person uses, you can discover or discern their understanding of a subject. Maybe let's all get in the same page. Let's take two scenarios. You go to the doctor. You go in, you sit down, the doc comes in the room, and you tell him all the things that are wrong with you. You know, I need some help. And the doctor looks at you and says, "Well, you know, I got an uncle who's really smart, and I think that he can help you. Let's get my cell phone out here, and let's give him a call." And you say, "Oh, is he a doctor too?" "Oh, no, he runs a grocery store, but he's really smart, and I think that he can help you." Or the doctor says, "Well, hey, that's some interesting symptoms you have here. Why don't we look up Dr. Oz on the internet and see what he has to say about it? Maybe we can figure out what's wrong with you working together here." That's scenario one. Now let's take another scenario. Gwen, doctor, sit down with him. Doctor comes in the room. He says, "Hey, doc, these are all the problems I have, you know." And the doctor says, "Oh, well, that's very familiar. I mean, that's been going around here in the community. I think I know exactly what it is." And he tells you what it is. He said, "Hey, we're going to do a swab, and we're going to do a culture. In 10 minutes, we'll know exactly what's wrong. We have a cream right here in the office that we can give you. Take care of this. We'll tell you how to put it on and everything, and you'll be fine." Which one you think understands your problem? Which one do you think you would want to go to? Yeah, the latter. This gentleman here, I think his first name is just Doctor. But this gentleman over here, you would say, is a doctor. A real doctor, exactly. Because when we examine the language a person uses, we can discern what they know about or their understanding about a certain subject. Now, we're going to do that with this verse that we have in the book of Isaiah. In that verse, go ahead and look at that verse. There is a curious phrase in that verse. And it goes like this, at the first part of the verse: "One that inhabiteth eternity." One that inhabiteth eternity. Now what we're going to do is examine that particular phrase. And we're not going to get to it all tonight. We're going to leave a lot of meat on the bone tonight. But you can take this and study out more what it means. But right now, we're just going to look at that particular phrase, and we're going to gain an understanding of what Isaiah knew about God. And I think it'll really help us in our walk with the Lord. Let's just take two words out of there. Inhabiteth. One that inhabiteth. Now, means to reside or to, you know, to dwell or something like that. The word itself is in what I've been told is an active participle form. And that means that it is taking place while the writer is writing or while the reader is reading. It's taking place at that very moment. Now, you say, we could use it this way. We could take the suffix and change it to ing, inhabiting. Maybe that'll help you understand it a little bit better. If somebody were to, if you say you call your friend up, hey, you know, he answers the phone, hey, man, what's going on? What are you doing? Or as Brother Rich Temple would say, yo, homie, what's going on? And he says, I'm eating supper. Now, what do you think? Do you think, as the other person, do you think, oh, he's finished eating. Oh, he's on his way to Ace Hardware. Oh, he's going to bed. No, what are you thinking? He's eating. He's eating at the moment that you called. He's eating at the moment he picked the phone up or is trying to. He's eating supper. That's the same thing that's going on right here. One that inhabiteth eternity, he's inhabiting eternity right now. He's there right now as we speak. He was there when Isaiah penned those words. He was there when the people of Isaiah's day read those words. He was there when your great-great-grandfather read those words. He was there when you read those words. He's there right now as we read them. He is inhabiting eternity. Now the question comes up. Why is that so important? Well, we might get to that tonight. I don't know. We'll try to. But why is it so important that he would write it that way to the people at that time? Why? Let's move on. Eternity. Did you know, for those of you who are Bible trivia buffs, that that is the only place in the entire Bible where the word eternity is used? One that inhabiteth eternity. Never changing, never ending. Perpetual continuation. I like to say that. Perpetual continuation. It makes me sound smarter. Doesn't make me look any better, but it makes me sound smarter. Perpetual continuation. Now, we think about something that is eternal or eternity. I can think of some good things. Can't you think of some good things? You think about heaven. No more sickness. No more suffering. No separation. Never ending. Never changing. But you know, there, in a humorous way, there are some things that we would like to change. Some things that we would like to end. You ever go to bed at night? Get in bed, cover up. And you're just about to fall asleep. And you hear, zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz canteen, maybe a whatever room, and you know what that zzzzzzzzzzz is going to do? It's going to light on this little 6x8 or whatever this thing is right there. Huh? 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 You been there? You been there? First the thing will light in your hair, and then it will light, try to crawl in your ear, and then you hear it, and then it stops. And you know it's on the covers coming up to you. So you're swishing at it then. Then the thing tries to fly up your nose, and about that time you've had enough. You come out of there fighting mad, right? You ever been there? Turn the light on. The wife says, "What in the world are you doing?" And you go and you wake the whole household up trying to find this fly swatter. And you run upstairs, or you run out in the kitchen and you're tearing the you know, the cupboard's apart, and you finally find it, you come back, and boy, you got it. You're after that fly. You're going to kill that fly. So you sit there, and you're listening. Hey, you think you scared the bejeebies out of him, and he's gone. So you put the fly swatter away, and you turn the light out, and you get in bed, and you cover up, and you're just about asleep. This starts all over again. Perpetual continuation that we want to have stopped, don't we? Yes, that's something we want to stop. But in this case, remember our truth we're looking at. When we examine the language of a person, we can discern what they understand about a subject. And when we look at this phrase, we can understand some things that Isaiah knew about God. And right there, I want to stop. What do you know about God? This was a serious question the Lord really brought up to my mind. I'm not asking you what you have read about him. I'm not asking you what the preacher has preached about him and you have heard. I'm asking you what you know about him personally. What you know about him. You know, it's interesting to me in John chapter 17 and verse 3. In what scholars call the high priestly prayer of Christ. He says something here in his prayer. This is a fascinating chapter. Because actually when you look at this and you read this, you are reading about the prayer closet of God. That's an amazing thought. But let's look at verse 3. If you want to turn there, John 17, 3. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." He's praying for his disciples, by extension praying for us, and praying for the world. He says, now what's interesting to me is the phraseology here in verse 3. "And this is life eternal." I looked up commentary after commentary, and they change it. They change it to eternal life. He did not say that. He said life eternal. He's emphasizing the quality of life here and its duration by its eternality. Ladies and gentlemen, and he says what? He says life is about knowing God. You see, eternal life begins at salvation. And he's talking about a continuing understanding or a growing knowledge of God in our lives. We should be having an intimate relationship with him. That's exactly what the term know means there in John chapter 17 and verse 3. It's an intimate relationship. It's one that is developing. It's one that's growing. When we look at Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, we see a man who knew God. He could pen these words about God because he knew him. One that inhabiteth eternity. He knew that about God. He knew what he was like. He knew that. It wasn't something that he just heard. Do you remember in the book of Job? Do you remember Job? How his life went? Remember in the very beginning, we find that the devil comes to God, and God gives the devil permission to attack Job. And he loses everything. He loses his family, he loses his finances, he loses his health, and three friends come to comfort him. Yeah, and his wife nags him. Yeah, his wife does. He actually loses, you know, in his family's part of that. It's a terrible situation for him. And then he has three friends that really don't help him. And Job goes like this. Through the next chapters. Then all of a sudden, God steps in. And God starts asking a whole bunch of questions to poor old Job. And then we come to the final chapter, chapter 42. And Job makes a statement that is the crux of the entire book. So many times we get caught up in the first chapter where God comes down and lets Satan do to Job what he wants to do except for killing. And we miss the whole purpose of the book, the whole purpose of the trial, the whole purpose of the situation. He said in Job chapter 42, I think it's verse 5 or something like that, Job says this to God when God's done giving him all these questions. Do you remember it? He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I see you now. I've heard other people talk about you. I've heard other people maybe preach about you. But now I see you. Remember, when we examine the language a person uses, we can discern his understanding of the subject. If I were to ask you what you personally know about God, what words could you use? What words would you use? What is your relationship with him? Isaiah said, he's one that inhabiteth eternity. What would you say? What is your personal relationship like with him? I always tell the teens this. You know, it's not so much where you are on a spiritual ladder, whether you're maybe up the top, maybe you're at the middle, maybe you're at the bottom. It's not where you are on that ladder. It's the direction in which you are going. Now, what direction is your relationship going with God? What words do you have to describe him to you personally? Not what you've read, but how you know him. Now, let's think about another application. What do others who know you think about God from the life you live? We always say that our actions speak louder than words. What do others see about God through you? Through the situations that you're going through, through the troubles, you know, or hey, I complain way too much. I don't know about you. Nobody here probably does. But I complain way too much. I'm there are just times where I find myself, Mark, you have nothing to complain about. I'm always doing better than I deserve to be doing. But how do we portray God through our actions to others? Remember, by examining the language that a person uses, we can discern their understanding of a subject. By examining, and the world's examining us, by examining our life, by examining the words that we use, by examining the actions in which the way we behave, the world is discerning our understanding of God. That's a heavy thing to think about. For Isaiah, he said he is one that inhabiteth eternity. Wow, what a blessing that Isaiah knew that and could pen that for us to learn and then to experience. What's our truth tonight? When, by examining the language a person uses, we can discern their understanding of a subject. How do you understand, or what are the words you use when you talk or when you think about God? When we look at this, we'll finish with this. If we were to look at this particular phrase, we could actually say that Isaiah is looking at God as a king, could we not? One, the high and lofty one, the one that inhabiteth eternity. He had these words penned, but is there anything in the book that would substantiate the claim that he's talking about God as a king? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Remember that? When King Uzziah was dead, he saw the vision of God. He saw him. He saw him sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you understand that? There's so much there at that vision, and my time is up. Do you understand what the train filling the temple means? In the days of kings in the Bible times, when a king would defeat another king, he would take part of his robe of the defeated king, cut it off, and sew it to his own. If his train filled the temple, he has no enemy he has not conquered. That's what he's saying there. So in this passage in Isaiah 6, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, if you understand the context of what is going on in verses 1 through 5, Isaiah has just pronounced judgment on Israel, and their king, whom they had trusted in, Uzziah, was dead, and the world around them was their enemy. I mean, you had Egypt to the west and the south was rising up. Assyria was rising up as a world power. Syria to the north was rising as a power. They were surrounded by their enemies. And Isaiah then, now listen, they're surrounded by their enemies. They have their king, their earthly king is dead. The guy they trusted in, he ended up dying a leper. He flamed out at the end of his life. Now, and God is bringing judgment upon them. And Isaiah gives them a vision of a king, God sitting on a throne. We learned this lesson, ladies and gentlemen. There is always hope. You should always preach and teach hope. Always. Never leave someone hopeless. And in every situation that you have, there is always hope. Because there is one that sits upon the throne. Remember? One that inhabiteth eternity. That's God. And as long as he inhabits eternity, and how long is he going to inhabit it? Eternal. There is always hope for all of us, each one of us, because the king will always sit on the throne. Remember, when we examine the language that a person uses, we can discern their understanding of a subject. Isaiah knew God. Do you know him? Would you stand?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.